So I thought I'd open today with a magic trick.
Oh, well, this is new.
I'm kidding. I have no magic tricks, but we have a magician.
This is the first time.
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Shelby Abbott, and your hosts are Dave and Ann Wilson. You can find us at familylifetoday.com. This is Family Life Today.
And Danny Ray is a magician, and his wife, Kimberly, you are with us today.
Oh, you are not a magician.
Let's just make that clear. Yeah, I am not a magician, but Danny is. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, we've never done anything. And Danny, look what I found.
Oh, my goodness.
This is your card.
That's an old business card.
We did a marriage conference in, I think, Goshen, Indiana.
Wow. Yes.
And we walk into this church. We're going to speak on our book, Vertical Marriage. And there's Danny in the green room, right? That little curtain. And I'm like, who are you and what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm doing magic. We're like, never had this happen before.
We're like, this is a cool conference that they would bring in a magician.
To be honest, I was like, how much time is he going to take from our stuff?
Right.
You're thinking, oh, it's always tight.
But
and then you did your thing and we're like, you're fantastic. Seriously.
Thank you.
It was really good. And I'll say this. Kimberly, you weren't there.
No.
But you know this about the guy. Mm. You were humble.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, there's a chance where somebody else sharing the stage, they can sort of like, hey, I don't get to say a lot, so I'm going to, you did your thing, you walked off, and you're like, here you go. It was really a team.
He's very intentional that way.
But his show had a lot of marriage principles that you taught through your magic. And so not only were we saying, how did he do that? Then you bring in this great marriage principle that pertained exactly to this trick that you had done, but that it applied to everybody's lives. So you really grabbed everyone's attention. Good job.
Thank you. I'm honored to be able to do that. I feel like, the magic obviously is something I do. I love it. But I'm there to serve at any event. And so whether it's a corporate event or whether it's a marriage conference or whatever that is how can I serve? And obviously being able to help people with their marriages, I think, is crucial for our society and for our communities. So.
And you guys have had a perfect marriage.
I was just going to say how perfect ours is. Yeah.
How many years have you been married?
20. I want to see if you know.
28.
No, 27.
We're coming up on 28. He does this to me where it gets confusing because he's, we're in the 28th year of, no, I can't. It's my fault. I'm wrong.
And 27.
You have three kids. And Kimberly, you're going to school.
Yeah, finished school. And I'm an associate marriage and family therapist. And it does mean, even after you're finished with school, that you have a lot of hours to gain for counseling. So I'm working towards my 3,000 hours.
You have about 1,700. You're getting there, girl.
True.
So how about like your life? Are you on the road? I know we saw Danny, and you traveled with, you had your camera guy.
Yeah, so I have a camera person that travels with me. Kimberly, every once in a while, she'll do it. Maybe
when it's in Hawaii, I'm there.
Yeah,
when it's in
Ocean, Indiana.
Colorado Springs. I missed the Indiana one. Whoops.
Now, do you call it magic? Because I'm guessing some listeners right now are like, oh.
Depends who I'm talking to. If you would have said illusions, I would have followed suit. I would never say magic in this conversation. So I just try to match language. I know in the magic community, close-up magic in particular, if I said I do illusions, that means stage magic. But I think for a lot of Christians are more comfortable with that word illusions, seeing how it says magicians are going to hell. You know, small details that the Bible, says magicians are going to hell. I did wrestle. I was willing to give it all up. I became a believer at 17 years old and was, thankfully went to my youth pastor and he was able to say, look, doing card tricks and stuff is not what was going on, in the New Testament and the Old Testament. People were calling up the dead and, different things that have nothing to do with sleight of hand.
Yeah. So you've also, we were talking earlier, have a little bit of background family life.
I mean,
you're sitting here in our headquarters, but we can remember when you were pre-marrieds.
Yeah, this is amazing how God loves to bring things full circle. And to be sitting here and on this side of marriage or a family life,
we were engaged. We were at our church and somebody gifted a weekend to remember to us.
We were poor college students, never heard of
family life
or a marriage conference. That was not on our radar.
We had no idea what to expect, but we're like freezing our price range. You know, they paid for the hotel, paid for the conference. I think we had to pay for food. I'm like, okay, either way, we have to eat. So we've got this. And so,
but that set us up for life, really, for a great marriage that obviously not perfect, like you said, we joked about it, but a healthier marriage. Both of us come from families of divorce. And so it was, we knew, okay, we don't want that. We don't want divorce, right? We want to be intentional, but we wouldn't have known without that conference. We wouldn't have known what that looked like.
And then, you know, the books at that conference, we end up purchasing some of those. One of the devotionals, I think, by Dennis Ranney. And we, you know, went back and forth through that first year of marriage. Or that would have been when we were engaged. But then we got another one when we first got married. And then we went to another conference that first year. And that one was at the Broadmoor.
That was a good one to go to.
We remember that one.
Yeah, that's good.
That was our first year of marriage of really trying to set that foundation.
Yeah, and those tools we still use. And I actually know where we still have the books. Like
do you really?
the spiral. Yeah.
That's awesome.
And just are so thankful that we got to be a part of that. And we've gone back to thank that couple who paid for us to send us to that and have a huge heart and sent our newly engaged son and his fiance to the same.
So for our listeners, if you haven't been to a Weekend to Remember marriage getaway, this is a great opportunity for you, but also to gift. I love that idea of gifting it to someone else, maybe newlyweds as you guys, even your engaged son.
It transformed our marriage. So if anybody has the resources to be able to gift that, that is huge.
That's awesome.
That's good. You go on familylife.com and you can gift it to them right now. Get a thing. But let's talk about your book.
Yeah.
I mean, only a magician would write a book called No, I Can't Make Your Wife Disappear.
I
mean, I remember you handed it to us at the conference and I just laughed. I went, that is so,
it's a great
so
title.
Good. And as I read through it, you both write in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You didn't have a perfect marriage. You don't have a perfect marriage.
No.
So talk a little bit about the struggles that you've had. I don't know. You can pick any one you want, or where you
today's
you want to start.
Fight, or which one did you?
Let's talk about one of your chapter titles is how to read minds, understanding how your spouse thinks.
Yeah, so we always hear how you can't read her mind, or and as a magician, that's part of what I do is I read minds. So I thought this is it's an interesting thing when we think about our relationship with each other and just relationships in general is you're constantly reading each other's minds. Like you know, when she's cooking, I'm thinking like, how can I help with the cleaning process afterwards?
Or are you thinking, I hope this is really good?
that might be true.
Okay.
So just an idea of how to read your spouse's mind. And this is part of the book is let's say she's coming home from work and she's just like, I am so exhausted. I've been working 12 hours. I'm just completely drained. That gives me enough information based on my knowledge of who she is to go, I know when she's exhausted, she loves a bath. I know she's not going to want to cook when she gets home. So I either need to get something on the table or I need to go buy something. And that's what I look at as like reading her mind is I know her really well over 27 years of marriage and 2.5 year engagement. recommending that one. A long time to be engaged.
Mm-hmm.
Based on the knowledge we have of the other person, how can we serve them best given the situations they're in? And so that's kind of the concept behind
it. Danny.
Yeah.
Like this fact that you just said, oh, she's having a hard time. What can I do for her? Because generally speaking,
you don't have to tell them.
No, what most of us would do, like, oh, bummer. She's going to be in a bad mood. Mm. We're not going to have a good night. But you're taking it to the opposite of how can I serve her? It sounds like it's been a rough day.
He's good at that.
That's not normal.
He really is good at that, Kimberly?
Yeah, he is.
You know how many wives say that about their husbands? Not very many. I mean, the fact that you're saying that is a real testament that
that's... Oh, well, that's exciting. I'm thankful you're such a servant to hear that.
I mean, when you said that, Danny, I'm like, so you're not selfish?
I'm not saying I'm not selfish. I can tell you, like, zero sermons probably in the last 25 years of listening to sermons.
Well, that's great to tell a preacher that. I'm glad I put all those hours in and changed people's lives. Not one in 25
years. He's not done, but go ahead. Okay.
Just me. But I do remember this one line from a sermon where the pastor talked about, mm-hmm. you know, that he used to go home all the time, just sit down in his chair, and he's done. And he said it changed his marriage when he started to, on his drive home, going, how can I serve my wife? And I literally think about that line every time I drive home. Mm-hmm. And now I could say, because it's been over 20 years, like, it's changed our marriage, is when I'm driving home, I'm thinking, how can I serve her best, regardless of whatever my needs are? So it's not that I'm not selfish in other areas. There's definitely areas where I fail and where I don't live the way I want to that way. But
you're very good at serving in this. Yeah. And it's the reading that you do. You do a great job. In the reading of each other's minds, there's a fine line of making assumptions, right?
Yes.
We might assume that this is what they want or need.
Or they're going to be in a bad mood even.
Yeah, you can make that assumption too, right? So we also have learned to call each other on the way home, whoever's coming home, right? And connect before they walk in the door, because that's the surprise when they walk in the door and, oh, this is not going to go well, right?
Yeah.
And we might make an assumption that way. But Danny often calls, or I get in the car at work, say, okay, I'm on my way home. He says, how did it go? We might start the talk about how each other's day went, but he'll say, okay, what do you need? Like, is this a you need to go wash off work kind of moment when you walk in the door? Are you hungry? Coffee? Like, what's the deal?
The key is information. So any mind reader will tell you a small amount of information goes a long way for them to apparently read your mind. So, for example, if you notice somebody has, like, yellow stains on their fingertips, you know, from smoking, you don't know they smoke, but you see the stains, right? That probably gives you an indication, like, if you talked about stress or anxiety, right? So that same thing, when she gives me information on that drive, gives me enough information to go, like, okay, these are the ways that I could help make the night go great for her. And sometimes me.
And sometimes
there's the selfish part.
Yeah. What does that look like on your end, Kimberly? Like, if you talk to Danny on the way home and he's had a rough day, what are you listening for?
I was thinking about that as we say this. I am not so good at this. So the roles are just reversed, I think, for us. And actually, that's been true for a lot of things. But I have to just ask straight up, what does he need? Or I'm probably so terrible that you just call me actually and say, I need dinner. Like, I need some food because it's...
But that's good because at least
you're
saying it because you know what to do.
Right. Because I would not know. I'm not good at the guessing. I'm not good at even thinking he needs anything. Oh, you know, he handles himself all day.
And I think this is where we know each other well.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to tell her, like, If there's not food on the table, I'm picking up something. Like, these are the options. Do you have anything? If not, that's fine. I will. And she's like, I could heat something up. Good enough. What are we heating up?
Because sometimes he's coming in at 10 o'clock at night after doing shows, you know, so it's...
Tired and hungry.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that gets into when you talk about scripting. What you say, when you say it, and how you say it matters.
Yeah.
I was just with them a few nights ago, and the wife was venting, like, this is what's going on, and you could tell she was feeling a little frantic, and her husband said, just take a breath, take a breath, and I shouldn't have said it, but I'm like, that is very demeaning. You know, Dave used to say to me, just relax.
Oh, yeah.
Relax. Like, I can't
that
relax.
That is not a good word.
Calm down.
Or,
right?
Take a breath.
I thought that was helpful.
Yeah, take a breath. Like, oh, well, you want to, you know. So when you talk about saying the right thing at the right time when it matters, like, how have you guys managed that?
Well, in magic, timing matters, right? So when you do I was wondering,
do you like script your trick?
Yes and no. Like, I definitely, I'm not just, you know, walking into any situation going like, I hope this goes well. like, I'm definitely trying to think of, like, what's the best outcome in how do I work at making that happen? So I'll take for the Penn and Teller, like, that's the most scripted. If you're not familiar with Penn and Teller, they have a show called Fool Us, where you're trying to fool two magicians. And I went on to that show. And
you got to go on YouTube and watch it. I watch it. It is fascinating.
Do we give away the ending or no? We'll just let them
see
it. I want
to know how you did what you did.
Please share how much time you put into making this perfect to fool them.
Yeah, so I had 70 days from the time I got the email of we'll see you in Vegas to the time that I would actually be performing on the show. And I put in 10 hours a day working on that routine, and I'd work on it for 1 minute at a time. So I had a clock that dinged every minute, and I'd practice for 45 seconds, reset that part of the trick, and then on the minute, start all over again, and did that for 10 hours straight for 10 days, and then went on to the next minute of the trick. And so I was constantly working on the scripting with that as well. With the producers, they wanted this, you know, relationship with Allison at the time. She was the host, and for there to be a great connection that way. But Allison is her own beast, and you cannot control what she's going to say. So people ask, you know, did you plan on her saying that? I had no idea what she was going to say. So I think this is where the planning and the rubber hitting the road is. We could plan on how we're going to talk to each other. And so we talk about this of, in our fights, we want the intensity to go down, and we want the length of the fight to be shorter. So our,
because we started out with some really long,
drawn out, intense fights.
Yeah.
And we didn't have great examples of like how to like do this.
You hadn't seen it.
Like I love my mom and dad. My dad being my stepdad, you know. But they didn't have like, oh, here's a, you know, like they met in a strip club.
Not literally. Just say that. Yeah,
literally. Really.
So no, my mom wasn't the stripper.
But
growing up, I saw health, but I saw, you know, like drag out fights too, you know, and didn't have like, oh, here's what a healthy relationship or a healthy, how do you resolve conflict? And so we had to learn those, and we're reading books and we're trying to navigate that. And we just came to the conclusion, like, it's not helping by being louder doesn't solve it, you know.
It's the scripture of a gentle answer turns away wrath.
So learning to have our tone right and our attitude right, even if we're still upset, in navigating that. And so we've learned a lot that way of really showing grace and forgiveness in that, even when we're both upset and trying to navigate a situation. So bringing the intensity down and shortening that has, helped us to really isolate that so it doesn't ruin an entire day.
Kimberly, who gets louder back in the years?
Ooh.
Which one of you would escalate more?
Remember, you threw a book at me before you say. You threw a book.
And that's all I could think about, actually.
Hey, Danny, let it go.
Danny, take a breath.
Confession time, our first year, I did throw a book, and he looked at me. I did not hit you. And he looked at me and said, we don't throw things.
Because I dodged it.
Because
it's not the first situation I've been in. My sister used to throw, you know, knives. Like, there was book. I was happy it was a book, but I was like, I've got this. I prepared for that deal.
I mean, do you remember, not specifically, but what was going on in your relationship where it could escalate to that point?
That's a great point.
We've been there.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't think it was an issue that was such a big deal. I think it's, I don't know, who knows where, my family did not throw things. That wasn't where, so I think I just, I don't, maybe movies, maybe TV.
Emotions just ruled the moment.
Absolutely, yes. That's a very good way to put it. I just did not hold back. I don't know, I thought that's
what about that
fair
time
game.
You told me you cut my head off like a chicken?
Okay.
Yeah, he's bringing them all up. He's
you know, this really wasn't supposed to be a don't even think.
Are you going to deny it?
Nope.
Kimberly's asking if we can edit things out.
You can do with it what you want. I can't hide from it. It's true.
But the good thing is you're not at that point anymore.
No, this
and
is true.
And even if you were, there's always hope that tomorrow, with the power of the Holy Spirit in us, we can get better.
Yes, yeah. for sure. And I like that you said tomorrow, because that's been a huge part of our marriage, is to resolve the conflict.
Yeah, you write that day. A whole chapter.
Yeah, yeah, like resolving that conflict.
So do you stay up late? What do you do?
We sure did in the beginning. That was our understanding of the scripture of not letting the sun
go down on your anger.
Yeah, yeah, not letting the sun.
I realize there's different views of that scripture, but for us, you know, it's funny with how people interpret different scriptures, but when you read it, you just go like, oh, I guess we're doing that, you know? And so we just, and we didn't grow up, you know, in the church. Like I said, I came to faith at 17. So we're just trying to navigate this. And if, you know, God said it in his word, we're like, okay, how do we live that out? We weren't going to like, I was in seminary at the time, but I'm just soaking everything up and trying to figure this stuff out. But that was one where we just made a commitment. Yeah, so we would stay up late trying to resolve it. And
there
it
were
didn't
some
always...
all-nighters. I don't recommend that.
We did that too, and it's not great.
No, because you've really gone past the ability to work
reason.
Through anything. Yeah. I'm pretty sure one of us, maybe me, fell asleep. And
that would be me.
Okay.
Well, you're a unique couple. I sit there watching you go, okay, you got a mind reader, a magician.
So he thinks.
Who can?
So he thinks. There are things he does well with that, yeah.
But I'm guessing in some ways, Danny, you know, to do what you do, there's abilities. You can read people. You're watching first things. And you're a counselor.
Yeah.
And so you put the two of you together. You're
we're reading each
him.
Other consistently. Yes. Yeah. Constantly and consistently. Yes. And as a peacemaker is part of me. And that's, so I'm reading the room, making sure that he's not upset.
So, I mean, you're 20
I know what
years
you're thinking
in.
Right now.
What? You do.
I'm going to put a dead chicken in your bed.
Right. I have a feeling on your drive away from here today, you're going to talk about
he's
a book
be
being
trouble.
Thrown and somebody's head getting cut off like a chicken. Seriously, did you bring those up on air?
Babe.
Honestly, this makes a good interview.
I mean, 20 years in, are your fights a lot different?
Oh, yeah.
Than
in the beginning? Yeah. So we really... We intentionally brought down that intensity and the length of. And
she's
I don't
a lot
know,
nicer now.
You know, I'm totally fine with you saying this stuff, but somebody else might. I don't know.
But you're saying, too, we didn't finish the going to bed angry.
Yeah.
Now you'll wait, possibly, and resolve it the next day.
That's a great question. It is still the goal for us. Neither one of us.
Can function well if it's not resolved. Yeah,
right.
Especially me. Like I need to resolve it to function. I don't know what that is in me, but I have a hard time doing it. Tell me what it is. But,
she knows.
Just kidding.
I'm not able to like practice or concentrate or do anything else. And
until
so
we've worked out
Sometimes I need space where I'll just hey, I'm going to go for a drive or I'm going to go for a walk and just, usually I walk out of that situation and then go back and go like, oh, somehow it helps me to see my faults in it and what I'm doing to continue to make healing impossible. And so usually just like my hard-heartedness in that argument, I can come back after having a breath of fresh air and go like, okay, I wasn't handling this well. I'm sorry, you know, that I said these things or hurt you in this way, and then work towards repairing that.
Have you found that part is the Holy Spirit kind of showing you things, convicting you, kind of giving you a whole different view of
softening.
It. Softening of your heart.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like, I feel like God's constantly working on me that way. And I know when I step away, I find it harder in the middle of a tense argument to pray. But when I step away, I feel like it's easier to pray. But that's one of, I think, our secret sauces is we do try to pray together, even after an argument like that, to pray after just for healing and for wisdom and to isolate. One of the things that I think we try to do is if we have an argument, let's say at 10 o'clock in the morning, that the rest of the day isn't like, this day is just, it was horrible. Because, you know, it's like to isolate that to that moment in time.
Yeah, hey, we're going to let this go and stop here. But later on, we'll resolve that. But to not let your whole day be terrible because of it.
Yeah, well, resolve it then and then say, okay, we're done. We'll hit, actually, we talk about this in the book where we hit the reset button.
Got it.
Because, okay, we've worked through it because we can't function if we don't. So that's just us.
Right.
But then we hit the reset button and say, okay, we're not going to let this argument, and even though we've worked through it, we're not going to let it affect the rest of the day and be...
keep lingering.
Yeah, mopey or hurt or, you know, sometimes... Yeah.
That's wise.
When I was... in an argument with her one time, and I was, I don't remember, like I think most arguments, you don't necessarily remember what it's over, but I just remember being so frustrated. But you talked about like how the Holy Spirit works. And we were at Hume Lake, which is this camp in California.
Right?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Amazing, yeah.
And so you know the lakefront. Yeah. And so this is probably 11:30 at night or something. I'm just so frustrated.
Pretty sure you left me in the cabin with the kids.
I did leave you in the cabin with the kids, and I just walked out. Mm-hmm. And I walked to the lake, and I'm standing in front of the lake, and praying, like, and I just felt like the Holy Spirit's telling me, you need to go back and be with your wife now. And I'm like, that is not going to happen. And what are you going to do about it? Literally, like, right in that moment, like, 20 deer ran right in front of me, and I about pooped my pants. It was so loud and scary. Like, you're in the middle of the forest. You don't know. I was like, okay, I'm sorry. And I, like, went back in, and I was super apologetic. I know there's a few times where I've literally got on my knees to apologize. I don't know if that was
that
one of them.
That may have been one.
But it might have been. Because I just remember going out.
And what are you going to do about it?
Can you imagine saying that to God?
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm not saying it was the right thing to say. Yeah. No.
Yeah. Thanks for that honesty.
Careful what you say.
But also, that's inspiring. Like, just to see you guys, how you've worked through the communication and conflict. That's wise and impressive. But I think you're right. I love that you said our secret sauce is that we pray together. I think that's ours too.
Yeah, and I would end today saying if you've never prayed with your spouse.
Yeah.
Or if you haven't in a while, how about you start today?
Yes.
I mean, just a 1 minute or even a 20-second prayer can start a chain in motion that can literally transform your marriage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 1 minute of prayer a day equals 6 hours in a year. So, like, it adds up quick.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
Only a magician would know that.
You know, I did the math, and it kind of checks out. 1 minute per day equals 6.08333333333 hours a year. So he was close. He was pretty close. But still, that's a lot of prayer, and it's pretty impressive. I'm Shelby Abbott, and you've been listening to Dave and Ann Wilson with Danny Ray and his wife Kimberly on Family Life Today. It's been a fun conversation today, and actually, Danny has written a book, a very fun title called No, I Can't Make Your Wife Disappear, A Magician's Guide for a Magical Marriage. Now, depending on how you feel about that, I think it would be an interesting read. It's Danny's story of him and his wife, Kimberly, as they draw from biblical truths and their own experiences to guide you through things like effective communication, overcoming challenges, and building a lifelong relationship. You can get your copy right now by going online to familylifetoday.com. You can find it in the show notes, or you can give us a call at 800-358-6329. Again, that number is 800, F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. We've been talking about marriage and relationships, and that's what we love to talk about here at Family Life Today. And the cool thing is that we still have 20 Weekend to Remember marriage getaways coming up between now and mid-June in cities all over the country. And the great news is they are right now on sale for more than 40% off. You can find a link to the Weekend to Remember marriage getaway in the show notes, or you could go to familylifetoday.com. If you know anyone who needs to hear conversations like the one you heard today, would you share this program from wherever you get your podcasts? And while you're there, you can really help others learn more about Family Life Today by leaving us a review. Now, tomorrow, we're going to hear more from Danny Ray and Kimberly as we talk about emphasizing grace within marriage, honesty, and focusing on the positive aspects of your spouse. That's tomorrow. We hope you'll join us. On behalf of David Ann Wilson, I'm Shelby Abbott. We'll see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a donor-supported production of Family Life, a Crew ministry, helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.